Mixer with the Boys. From high octane to adrenaline. Starting lineups to starting grids. Gridiron to Grand Prix. Get laced up.
Let's go.
It's time for Banter with the Boys.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Banter with the Boys. Fast laps. First race of the season is come and gone, but first, let's get everybody in here. Joe, how we doing? How we feeling?
Feeling good. First race of the season, like you said, done and gone. Looking forward to the next ones. Hopefully, we get a little bit more action in the next ones.
I agree, man. It wasn't the most exciting race, but we'll get into that. Cole, how you doing? How you feeling?
Good, man. Sunshine and beautiful day. No place I'd rather be.
I 100% agree with you. Unfortunately, Mr. Smeltzy is out sick today, so it'll just be us three man in the ship. But let's get right into it. Bahrain, the season is upon us, and it is off to a bang. Wasn't the most exciting race. As we all know, Verstappen took home the dub, as we all kind of expected. But what are your initial thoughts on it, Joe?
Unfortunately, it's exactly what I was expecting. Max starting in the lead, keeping the lead. Ended the race 22 seconds ahead of second place. Perez, you know, taking that second place as well. Also a little bit expected. The person that I was not expecting to do what they did, or just to have the race they had, Charles Leclerc. I would have at least expected them to do a little bit ahead of Sainz, but car was just not agreeing with them this weekend, it seemed.
Yeah, Sainz was quick. Sainz was quick, and Leclerc had all the problems with braking. But how about you, Cole? What are your initial thoughts on the race?
Yeah, Sainz, I love that. I think he's shooting for a top of that one of the, you know, the bigger teams now. I mean, he's making his mark. The end of last season, the beginning of this season. All in all, it's honestly kind of exciting. I know me and Tyler were talking after the qualifying. We thought it was a lot closer than it was. I mean, the race pace just wasn't there for a lot of these cars. The one lap speed looked great, though, for a lot of these cars. But still, it's exciting to see your top four teams all at the top spots, you know, fighting for the points already. I think we're going to have really close races, at least there. I think the race this year is, you know, second, third, fourth.
100%. And I think it's going to be pretty open for that second, third, fourth. You know, like you mentioned, the one lap speed was there for, I mean, across the board. At the end of Q1, there's only a second gap. The second Alpine was just over a second. But from Verstappen's pace to the 20th pace there, you don't have those kind of discrepancies, that little of like leeway there, unless it's those short circuits. You know, you might get that in Austria, you know, where it's those short circuits where you're running a minute 10, minute 15 lap times. But these longer tracks, you don't see that close really at all. So I was expecting it to be a lot closer race than it ended up being. I mean, Max won by what? It was 22 seconds, if I'm not mistaken. So it looks like it's going to be the Max show this year, as we all kind of expected. But Checo looked really good. I was quite impressed with him. Now, Sainz was pretty much matching him from a pace perspective. He just had too much of a lead at that point to kind of come back. But I was really impressed with Carlos. I was really, really impressed with Carlos.
And Checo, I believe it was like 8 laps to go or something. Sainz jumped in and he was like, you know, how much longer do these soft tires have? And he was like, this is a lap. I mean, they're going to start decreasing. You saw that five and a half second gap. By the end of the race, it was down to like 2. Like, Sainz has the speed. Watch out, Checo. Because, I mean, we know Leclerc. I think Leclerc is a faster racer than Sainz, all in all. And, I mean, if we have them that close, I mean, it might be tough for Checo to stay up there in the top 3 in a lot of these races.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's really going to come down to the track playing to Checo's strengths. We'll kind of talk about Jeddah a little bit later, but first race of the season, I think Checo always does a little better. I think everyone's still trying to figure out the strength of their car a little bit. And I think the Red Bull just really shows off how competent and how strong it is.
And, you know, Ferrari, I think, looked great all in all, but Mercedes was a little upsetting. Like, still you have, Russell raced a great race, I'll give you that, but still you have Hamilton, their top driver, who's still like, we don't have the straight line speed to keep up with these cars. They're just too fast, which, that sucks. You know, everybody, I think, wants to see Hamilton win another one, want him to compete again, being the level of racer he is. It just kind of sucks to see that out of Mercedes.
It also very unexpected because the car had, you know, some pace. Like Russell held on to, you know, second for a pretty long time. Or was it second? Yeah, it was second for a pretty long time and then held on to third for a decent time. That Ferrari is just, that Ferrari is going to be a force to reckon with this year. So if they can keep it together and eliminate the big brake problems and just whatever durability issues they're going to see because it's Ferrari. Like, I mean, I think Verstappen's going to win another 15 races this year, unfortunately. But I'm excited for that battle from 2 to really, you could say, even 2 to 6 or 7, I think, is going to be tight this year in the WDC.
We definitely saw that. We saw everything out of Ferrari. And, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I really like the race pace of the car. The car looks great. Obviously, we're going to jump in here with, you know, Leclerc with his braking issues. But, I mean, it was a couple times it was hard, and I think it was turn 10. Right, I think it was turn 10. It kept happening, but he's locking up. But by the end of the race, he figured it out. So I think a lot of that, and especially with Hamilton and like these kind of racers, we may be jumping out a little too early on this because a lot of these racers, it takes them a couple races to get underneath the car and really feel this year's car.
Yeah, it's like I would agree with you from like a Hamilton perspective. I just don't think he's been comfortable in that car for 3 years now, and it's the same. I mean, it's a new car, so it's a new concept. For Ferrari's perspective, yeah, they'll fix the braking issue. I think that was more Charles just not giving the car a little bit too much trust. You know, he was trying to take that hairpin turner, which you have to take slow. I hate that turn in the game. It's just the worst. But he was just trying to go in too fast, and so many drivers were doing it on that turn. You know, so many runoffs there. But what worries me isn't so much like the braking issue with Ferrari. It's the engine failures that are going to happen. You know, it's everything else that just eliminates specifically really Charles from competing once he grabs a pole or whatever it is, you know?
And the nice thing about it all, though, I think we talked about it last episode, but I think we're starting to see what Hamilton saw in Ferrari, right? They're definitely upticking. They upticked last year. They start off this season hot, and I think we're going to see a lot more, maybe 2 threes this year from Ferrari.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'd be comfortable saying Ferrari is number two in, you know, constructors at this point, at least
100%.
I still think we have a lot of season to go. I think just like last year, McLaren has some room to grow and improve. I think right now we see them fighting Mercedes pretty much neck and neck. And if history is to repeat itself, I think we have a pretty good fight on our hands by the end of the season.
Yeah, I agree. Mercedes or McLaren came out a heck of a lot stronger this year than last. That's for sure. You can tell that they continued some improvements in the car. You know, there were leaps and bounds. That's the thing, is the top four teams, you know, who finished 1 through 8 being obviously Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, and McLaren. I think they are leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else. Even Aston. Aston did not look good at all. I mean, Alonso wasn't even fighting. He didn't even have elbows out, and that's not Alonso. So he had to have been given direction. Just let him, you know, just the car's not there. So whatever improvements McLaren made last year seems to just keep going. And Aston, the downfall that they had, doesn't seem to get any better.
It's fun. Obviously, it would be a lot closer, like the second through four, like we're seeing. But I think we're going to see some cool and interesting fights this year from 5 through 7, too. I think we might not see, you know, Aston or Alpine. I don't think we're seeing Alpine maybe fight for 8th, you know?
I don't think Alpine's going to be able to fight for 11th or 12th right now with where that car's at. It's bad. And they're like 11 kilos over the weight limit. And they can't take any more paint off the car. It's all carbon fiber as it is.
Yeah, I was talking about the constructors, 8th or 9th in that spot.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that Haas looked quick.
Mm-hmm.
That Haas looked quick.
I'm telling you, start of the season, Haas always looks a little bit better than the end of the season. I don't think they're going to keep it.
True.
But, yeah, man, Alpine, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, even that Sauber, that stake, you know, Gao Ganyu, I don't know.
Guan Yu.
The driver that's not Valtteri Bottas on Sauber, you know, finishing 11th. Like, I wouldn't have expected Sauber to be 11 through 15 even.
Yeah, I think we're going to see the Racing Bulls, Sauber maybe. Maybe not to the end of the season. Right now, we might see them a few races. And then the Williams and Aston Martin are going to be fighting for that middle pack.
And, yeah, I mean, I think with Albon being on Williams, that automatically puts them above everybody else, in my opinion. I think the only exception, eliminating Aston from that conversation. In my opinion, there's a gap between those top four I mentioned and then Aston and then the other four. Yeah. Just, it's like, it's Red Bull is in tier God And then it's the other three. Then I would put, you know, Aston and then the bottom pack, right? V-Carb, I think, can get there with Williams. Or I'm sorry, could get to Aston's level this year. I think they have the driver talent. And if Red Bull says what they're going to do and actually wants to develop that car and see what they have in those drivers, then they should kind of bridge that gap a little. But, I mean, speaking of V-Carb, Yuki and Danny Rick with some post-race drama, boys. What are we doing? What are we doing? I mean, in my opinion, though, I'm 100% with Yuki, where it's like, you shouldn't have called for the team mortars at that point. You're not going to catch, if you catch Magnussen, great. You're not catching Zhou. He was 6 seconds ahead of Magnussen. So it's like, even on the softs, there's just not enough time where you're going to close that gap, where when you're looking at the future of that Red Bull seat, the prime position, where that, like, if it happens to be where Danny Rick has two better finishes this year, and this might have been the one tying one or whatever the case may be, where that could be a deciding factor. I totally get Yuki's frustration, but the post-race antics don't help you get that Red Bull seat.
I completely agree. Kind of talking during the race, I kind of disagree with you. I'm kind of on Team Danny with this, only because the team orders, I don't love team orders in general. I think a lot of the time they just create more friction. I understand why they need to happen sometimes. That was probably not a great situation for them, but you should follow them. If they're going to get your team points, or if you think your team is going to get points from them, you should follow them. Yuki didn't abide by them or listen to them for a couple of laps.
It was just one lap.
Okay, just one lap. Didn't follow that for a one lap. A little bit running down Danny's tires a little bit. Danny definitely wasn't able to catch up after he did give that spot up. So I think both sides of the story kind of can be told a little bit differently. But yeah, those post-race antics back to the pit lane, crazy.
Yeah, and hold on, let me rephrase that. I agree that Yuki should have followed the team orders. When you're given that direction, you have to follow it. I just don't think it was necessary.
Sure.
If that was for the 11th spot and you have the chance of getting that 10th spot for points, take the chance, right? But go ahead, Cole.
Yeah, so I'm going to disagree too, because I don't think they're doing that to try to get 10th there. I think Yuki's had the battle with Magnussen. He's not winning the battle. Let's see what Danny Rick can do. I think we got to see how this car and which driver can compete and get those passes, because there is going to be a time down the road here in a couple races where you're going to have that spot where it's 11th through 10th. And if they're both sitting there, who are we sending through? What's the team orders? Who are we sending through? They know they're not getting points, but which race are we riding with this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because they came out and said afterwards that they were just trying to get to that 10th spot. So I totally get your point. I mean, I could see that. But if you're in the spot for points, I don't think Yuki's even frustrated at that point, because Danny's on softs. You're on softs versus mediums with that much in the race. You're going to give it to the guy with the softs, right? That's the strategy. And that was what Danny Rick said afterwards, too. It's like, they talked about that going into the race, that Danny's probably going to be on softs later. So if they were in that position, they're going to call team orders. So it was strategized, and they executed the strategy that was put in place. So for Yuki to have that reaction is a bit outlandish, although in the grand scheme of things, it was all 100% irrelevant. It's just like, you can't be mad when that's the strategy going in, too.
And this is why people love Danny Rick, right? After the race, he's like, what a helmet. You know,
he called him a helmet, bro.
He's just a people's guy. That's why everybody loves Danny Rick. He's awesome. And I'm still ride or die with Danny Rick, man. That guy's great.
100%.
I love Danny Rick. Yeah, he made sure to get that little comment in, but also didn't stoke the fire, you know, create even more separation between the two.
And he's not going to do that. He's too mature.
Absolutely not.
He's been in the game too long.
But that's another thing. I think that is a great pairing for Yuki, because Yuki is very immature.
100%.
He blows very up. He so. Always has these rage. He raged the last race when they said the team orders. What are we doing? You know, it's crazy that. But I think, again, the nice thing with Danny Rick is there's really never any scuffles with him and the other racer in the seat. He's always just, you know, he's an easy one to have on the team, because he's one, he's a great racer. And two, he's no BS.
Yeah, and he brings a lot of experience. And then, like, in that situation, he's not going to confront him. He'll go and just kiss him on the cheek or slap their ass. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just Danny Rick being Danny Rick. So, but yeah, it's going to be, you know, if there's any future fallout with that, we'll see kind of what happens. Like you said, I don't think Danny Rick will allow it to happen. And even Yuki, with his immaturity, knows that he has too much at stake right now to let some sort of confrontation hold him back.
Yeah, this is probably, hopefully, the start and end of their, like, rival arc.
Yeah,
I think, like I said, that post-race move, that dive bomb, crazy. Not something that I've seen in a long time, but I'm hoping that's the end of it. I'm hoping V-Carb sees that and puts a quick stop to it really, really quick.
And that's one thing that, like, Christian Horner will do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you can count on him and Helmut to not let anything kind of go there. Now, we know who Helmut's going to side with, but... So, over to a little bit of wild news. No safety car this race. You know, it has never happened in Bahrain. And the only yellow flag we had was Logan Sargeant being, you know, Logan Sargeant, just having a little runoff there. He blamed it on the car, but I really just think it was himself. Like, yeah, you're just Logan Sargeant.
Yeah, what's going on with Logan? He had not a good year last year. He came in preseason saying, you know, I'm in a different mindset, changed up my workout routine. I'm ready to get in there and get going. And Bottas, with the 52-second pit, ended faster than Sargeant. What's going on there?
That's just insane.
I mean, this is obviously Sargeant's last year, but for a good portion of the beginning of the race, I didn't think he was doing half bad. He didn't look half bad where he was sitting. I think he was sitting in like 12th or 13th or something at one point, Sargeant.
He was racing. Top 15.
He was racing good for a while there, and I was like, huh, maybe this is a new Sargeant. But then again, Sargeant being Sargeant, blows right through turn one. And yeah, I mean, there's not much you can do with that guy.
Did we figure out if it was a car issue that he just kind of sat there on the track for a while?
I don't know if anybody really cared enough to look into it or asked Dale Williams about it after. Like, it was so, I mean, like you said, it's Logan Sargeant. He might have been in an 11th. He'll finish in 17th. It's just Logan Sargeant. The guy's not meant to be an F1 driver, I guess, which sucks because he's the lone American on the grid. Mm-hmm. It doesn't bode well for us for the future, but, yeah. You know, maybe one day.
Williams got all their chips on Albon right now. They need him to get 25, 45 points to help them secure a sixth or a fifth this year. And that's all they have, which is going to be tough. And if he does it, hand him the Red Bull seat.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, if Albon can finish in the top 10 in points this year, that would be, even top 12 would be quite impressive. But let's move on. That's all we have for this race, just because we didn't actually officially say it. Verstappen, Perez, Sainz took the podium. Little bit of a recap from what we all predicted last week. Only one of us got two of the three correct, and that would be Joe, who picked Verstappen, Checo, and Leclerc. Everybody took Verstappen, so we all get 1 point this week, with Joe taking the early lead with 2 points on the season. Well, let's jump in, do some news. We're going to start with some hot news right now. Boys, Max Verstappen's going to Mercedes.
We can only hope, I guess. I don't know. It'd be the downfall of Red Bull for sure. But at the same time, best move for him. I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about his father and Toto, that photo they got taken together when they were chatting. It could just be blown out of proportion. I mean, these guys talk all the time in the paddock and everything like that. But yeah, obviously some huge news around this. It seems to be the only thing that's on my phone.
What an insane move if that were to happen. I just... Even after all the news that we got this past week, all the turmoil that Red Bull is seeing right now, I just can't see Max wearing that black and cyan. I just can't see it.
I don't know. Look kind of good on him. I saw a CGI thing or something where they put it on him. He looks cute in black and blue, dude.
He do look pretty good. But yeah, it's just interesting that it's smoke season. You know, it's and then you have the footage of Joe Verstappen and Christian Horner having a heated exchange after the race, with all the speculation with Horner right now being the root cause of it, apparently. And then, you know, there's news that Ford's pulling out of the Red Bull deal too. It's just, I don't know. It's so hard to believe any of this right now just because of the season we're in. And I mean, Lewis is going to Ferrari, so that just opens up the floodgates of this could happen, right? But I'm with you, Cole. If Max were to leave, let's see how good that Red Bull car really is. And let's see how really bad these other cars are with these drivers. You put Max in it, he starts winning races. Greatest of all time?
Yeah, no doubt. But also, like, if Marco leaves, then it's in Max's contract. He can walk away that day, which is going to be very interesting to see, because I think Marco's pretty upset about the whole Christian Horner thing as well. And, I mean, I was looking at the Ford thing to maybe be a downfall for Red Bull. So if Ford really pulled out, watch out if you're the rest of the field, because that may be just a benefit for Red Bull if Ford's not with them anymore.
I don't think so, though, because Honda has already come out. So Honda's been the powertrain supplier for a number of years, ever since Red Bull left Renault, or not left them, but stopped the partnership of their engines. And Honda has already come out and said they are no longer making engines after the 2025 season. So if Ford were to pull out, like that's where Red Bull's everything is for their engines at this point. Like it's not, I mean, yeah, they could buy a Renault, buy a Ferrari, buy a Mercedes if I guess if they needed to, but I don't know. I mean, and Ford, they're not foreign to Formula One. Like they had Ford engines in cars before. Now, granted, it's been a while, but at the end of the day, it's a whole new engine they're essentially building in 2026 anyway. So it's, you get the Red Bull engineers in that Ford engine. I don't think it really matters who's making it or what parts are it are as opposed to who's actually making it.
Yeah, I'm curious to see if that were to happen, what Red Bull would take as their engine supplier, because I don't know if they'd want Mercedes. I think Ferrari probably sounds like the best option. I can't see them taking Renault again. That was such a mess.
With Renault's at right now, with where Alpine, I mean, why would you even like think of that?
Yeah.
You know?
And then the next question is, how much is it? Is the Honda engine, like, how much is that pushing that Red Bull, and how much is it aerodynamics? I think obviously aerodynamics is going to be playing huge, huge part, but do we see that gap lessen between the other cars if they switch their engines?
Well, I don't think from an aerodynamics perspective, I don't think it's as much the engine as the build of the car.
Yeah.
It's about the more the power aspect of it. And I mean, Honda's shown that they've built the most powerful engine, like durability wise, it lasts the longest. And at the same time though, Honda's also supplying V-Carb with their engine, and they have been since Red Bull got there too. So is it really the engine that's doing this, or is it the engineers back at the warehouse or headquarters? But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Max Verstappen's future holds, I guess. You know, I just want it to be next season and know where all the drivers are going at this point, because there's just so much uncertainty out there. But let's switch paces over to Alpine. They lost their technical director and head of aerodynamics. They chose to leave the team to seek new challenges. No surprise there, because that car is terrible.
Yeah, and you wonder if, you know, how much say he really had in the car. Maybe that was a frustration too. It doesn't seem like if you leave right after a race like that, it's probably not because your design didn't work, you know?
Well, they came out after too. It's like they were actually like let go or mutual, whatever it was, like a week before, but they were going to go through the race and then announce everything. So it wasn't just like a spurt decision after the race they were going to leave. It was in the works already. They just wanted to keep the press on the actual race, I guess. But I mean, you're right. It's like obviously they're not offering much there. Like, take whatever they're going to pay you, go work for another team that's going to pay you probably close to it and actually make a difference. Build your name back up.
Yeah.
Do you think there was pressure for them to leave because upper management was seeing the car not do so well and they were like, you guys got to go? Or were they just not allowed to spread their wings and build a good car?
I mean, I think that could definitely be the case. I think that's a good, thought on it too. Alpine's just a mess right now. I think, you know, hopefully they come out with the real news, what really happened and everything like that. But at the end of the day, they need some change. And if it means a new technical director, if it means whatever, rebuild. You know, it's almost like a rebuild year here now for Alpine with the way they started.
Well, then what was last year? They let go of their team principal halfway through the year. Like, what is Alpine doing right now?
Halfway through a race weekend.
Yeah. Halfway through a race weekend, yeah.
They almost need to take like a, not to get too far in the weeds here, but go to like a football side of things. They almost need to take like a play out of that book and just rebuild everything. Let's start fresh, get some rookie drivers, and let's rebuild everything around this team, because the way they're going right now, if their path is to try to win a championship, they're not close.
Not even remotely close. No. They're not even close to seventh in the driver's championship right now. But they need to just sell it to Andretti. Sell everything to Andretti. Let them get in there, take over, and just wipe your hands clean.
That would be fun. You got to feel bad for Ocon and Gasly, though. And they're given such a bad car.
And they're two super talented drivers. I like both of them. SD can get a little, I don't know, he's kind of a little temperament. He's too little too emotional, I guess, for me.
A little firecracker. Kind of
there's words that I want to say that I'm not allowed to because we're trying to keep this PG podcast, but he's a little brat, I guess. And Gasly, I've liked Gasly since he was on AlphaTauri. You know, I wanted to see Gasly get a shot, get in a good car and see what we can actually do. I don't think he was treated right when he got that Red Bull seat. He didn't get a fair chance. And I've always been a fan of Pierre, so I would like to see him in a good car. We'll switch paces then to some other big news. The FIA president, Mohammed Ben Sulayem, we'll just go with that, is under investigation for an alleged attempt to interfere with an F1 race, which apparently happened last year at the 2023 Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Fernando Alonso was given a couple of penalties that day. One, everybody agreed it wasn't too fair. Well, the president of the FIA decided to as well and apparently tried to interview and overrule that penalty, which is terrible news for the sport from an integrity standpoint. The last thing you want to hear is any interference from any higher up in any sport you're watching. We all know of the football rigged rumors that are out there. The last thing we want to hear is this. With all the speculation the FIA's had, especially after the Lewis Hamilton, Max Verstappen drama, like you're in such a big spotlight and you're the president of the FIA. You can't even like let this be a rumor that you even entertained it to the point where it got to that point. Like, this is just insane.
Yeah, I feel like when we were just getting to a point where people could start trusting FIA again, I feel like all of last year, well, all of the last 2 years after that moment, that last race with Lewis and Max, everyone was calling the mafia. It was bad. No one trusted them anymore. I feel like we were just starting to lose that kind of grip, and then this comes out. Weird that it almost a year, like exactly a year after we come out with this news and it's starting to get investigated a little bit more, but yeah, not a good look.
I mean, we just had the Christian Horner thing, which made major headlines. Now we have this with the FIA. FIA, you know, like you said, the football, it's like your Roger Goodell. They're going to get hate, but this is one of those things that you don't want showing up. And especially now with, I mean, the Drive to Survive is absolutely huge. You have more fans. We have three races in the USA now. The fan base over here is growing. This is what hurts that growth. This is what hurts everything for the F1 down the road. I think this is one of the worst things that can happen for F1, and it sucks being a fan and having this happen because you just want, you know, the heat to grow, everything to grow around the sport. So, you know, you're going down, you meet a long-lost cousin. He's like, hey, did you watch the race last weekend? Right now, it's not how it is, and this is not helping that path.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. The FIA has enough on their plate with, like, oh, the track limits are overplayed, whatever. That's the kind of negative press they need, right? That's what they should get.
Yes.
They're never going to be perfect. They shouldn't ever be perfect, yeah. Right? So it's just a bad, bad look, man. And you're right, Cole. It's going to hurt the viewership. It's going to hurt the potential future fans, especially in America, where we're the ones always starting those rumors of the speculations and the rigged, all that BS. You know, it doesn't come from across the pond. It's from America. So it's just not good. I hope they get it under control. If this is any inkling of this happening, he needs to be removed. New person put in that position. That's without question. And you're right, Joe. It's like after the 2021 ending to the season, they did everything right from that point. They got rid of the president, right? They redid so much. And now it's just like, I'm surprised this hasn't gotten as much of attention as it has. Now Verstappen going to Mercedes is going to overrule anything, but it's just not a good thing.
I think too, like I think they dropped the ball big on the Christian Horner thing. And I think this is like the way they can step up and change the pace and just be like, okay, you're out. Like, don't sit on it. Don't make anything crazy. Just kick him out. Get him out. And maybe even change up to where, you know, fans can have more fun around it. Maybe make it like a paddock thing, like the team presidents or something, the team owners. Make it something more unison where we're getting votes on these things and all that. You know, make it more like the NBA kind of has something like this, right? You might be able to explain that better, but make it more around that instead of just having one guy up there making the big shots.
Yeah, and I don't think, I think it is, like, it's the FIA Board of Governors. It's not just the FIA president's the overruling decision maker. Like, it has to go through a board process, similar to, like, Goodell in the NFL, where it's not Goodell making the decisions, it's the board. It's a similar concept like that. Now, how the FIA president gets elected, I don't know. Because in the NFL, the owners have to vote, like, the owners put in the commissioner. They essentially choose or elect the commissioner. So I don't know how that would work in the FIA.
But, like with the NBA and the Players Committee, what's the proper term for that?
It's the Players Union.
Players Union?
The Players Association.
Something like that for F1 or something. I think that'd even build, you know, the fan base and make it more exciting.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be a thing because you got 20 drivers. It's so limited where you don't have enough people to unionize to a certain degree. And at the end of the day, it's like, I think it's more of like the teams have the issues with the FIAs than the drivers per se. If that makes sense.
Yeah, so I'm more so talking maybe like presidents or like your president and your lead engineer, like getting some sort of unison so we can have that, so where you're not having that hash with the, because right now all that happens is if a team has an issue, they're bringing that directly to the FIA. And we know that happens all season, every race, you know, oh, hey, what's going on with this guy's side pods? What's going on with this guy's back wing? Like, we know Mercedes is going to get looked at for theirs, right? All this kind of things that they're going to start looking at now. Like, why not just make it something like that? It's a long shot. Obviously, they're not going to do it. But it's an interesting take, I think, that, you know, there could be some benefit there for the teams and the fans to follow. You know, I always thought it was fun, again, talking to the NBA, I always thought it was fun when, you know, you would hear, like, with the shutdown and the bubble. and you had Chris Paul, you know, making a lot of these plays, and like the bigger top end players or the team captains are going in and doing that. That's a fun thing. That's a fun thing for a fan to follow, because you're no longer following a person who's at the top like Roger Goodell, who everybody hates, but you're following the people you like in the organization or your team.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I've always been on the side with doesn't matter the sport, where like any sort of officiating body should be former players. So you could do a similar thing like that. You get some of the guys out of the booth, the Jolien Palmers, the David Coulthards, you know, you get some of these retired drivers that, yeah, it's a different, I mean, because the thing with F1, from the 60s till today, you're doing the same thing. There's just different regulations and safety measures, right? Where the, from football today, it's a completely different sport.
Yeah,
it's motor racing, you can't really do too much to tweak it, right? So it's, you get those old retired drivers and come to like some sort of committee. I really like that idea, actually.
Yeah.
I really like that idea.
It sounds like a great idea. I love seeing drivers that, I mean, drivers who used to be drivers. Obviously, there's only 20 of them, so we don't get a lot of them. They have a lot of really good experience. Unfortunately, when they're done, they end up in those commentating spots. But having something there that at least gives a little bit of input into what should happen, getting them up super high, I can see the argument being made that they're originally from this team, so they hold some bias with this team maybe. But I think, in general, they just want what's good for the sport.
Yeah, I think your last point there, they want what's good for the sport. I think that's awesome. And also it puts, like, the reason we love people being commentators, like, you know, obviously we're big football fans here, but like Tony Romo, I love when he commentates because he knows what's going on. You know, he's reading the plays like an actual player, and having more, like, having that in the F1 race is awesome. Like, listening to those commentators.
No, I love it.
So having that also in the FIA and understanding what's going on and making more clear and concise decisions other than people that haven't raced the car, I think it could just be beneficial.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with that. 100% on board with that. But I mean, going back to the point here, it's, they need to have an extensive investigation into this. I'll repeat it again. If there's any inkling that this even was a thought of happening, he needs to be gone, banned from the sport, and they need to get somebody in there with some actual integrity.
Do you guys remember how wonky that was last year? I remember Russell getting third because of that 5-second penalty, getting the trophy, and then later that night, him being told he has to give the trophy back to Alonso, and then kind of like giving a trade-off about a week later.
Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, the whole thing was terrible. He shouldn't have got the penalty. The penalty was BS as it is, but it's like, whether it's a BS penalty or not, the rules are the rules.
Yeah.
Make a change to the rules after the fact because of that. Like, we've seen that happen countless times.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But you can't interfere with how things are present time.
I hate how we, like, I understand what you're saying around having, you know, like, go through the long process, do the investigations. I hate that. Make him step down right now. Make him step down right now. Put somebody else in his shoes and in the background do the investigation. But let's build back up F1 and stop letting stuff like this tarnish the sport.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, he should at least, like have a suspension of sort until the investigation takes place. If he turns out to be whatever, then okay, put him back in his position. But at least, yeah, I 100% agree with that. I 100% agree with that. Because you're right, this investigation is going to be 2, 3, 4, maybe 6 months. Mm-hmm. Season's going to be halfway done. They're not going to want to bring the press into that at that time and take, yeah, you know, you're right. I would just say suspend them indefinitely until whatever's resolved.
Let's get rid of these headlines, bring back in the solid headlines that we actually care about and we want about the racers, the drivers, and the teams. Let's get the FIA off the headlines.
100% agree. 100% agree. Well, let's change pace. We have another race upon us this weekend, boys. All right, boys. Well, another race this week. I love the first 2 weeks of the season because we get a race in back-to-back weeks. I don't like those week gaps. It just leaves you in suspense. But we're headed to Saudi Arabia. Going to do a race on that Jeddah track, man. Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about last year's race?
Yeah, let's get into it. First, got to ask, what do you guys think about Jeddah? Do you like the track? What are your thoughts on it?
It is one of my favorite tracks in the game to race because it's technical, but you also got those just bare out, let her rip.
Yeah, the back half of the track right before the hairpin, before you hit the cross to the finish line, It's a little bit, like, there's a couple turns, but you're taking them full speed. It's I'm with you, man. It's my second favorite track behind Austria.
Oh, yeah. I have to completely agree. I love racing it in F1 or any of the F1 games. I also love sending it straight into the wall in those really fast corners. So a little bit of little fun facts and then a little preview from last year. Jeddah, first race was in 2021. We see the most pole positions coming from Hamilton and Perez. I think Perez, undeniably, just a really good street circuit racer. Most wins coming from Hamilton and Verstappen. And another quick little fun fact, Jeddah, most corners out of any other circuit on the calendar at 27.
I did not know that.
Yep. I think that's also, you know, speaking of last year recap, that's also why we saw Alonso take over a portion of that track last year because of how many corners and how good and technical he is in the race. So I think, you know, big factor this week.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of playing into that a little bit, some highlights that we got from last year. One of the biggest ones, Verstappen had a drive shaft failure earlier in the weekend. So he started 15th. Little spoiler alert, he did end on the podium in second. We did see him complaining about some drive shaft issues during the race as well, but he was unable to catch Perez about 5 seconds ahead for 25 laps. So that was kind of the gap near the end of the race as well. We saw Alonso get a podium last year as well. At least he
did. We
got a podium. You can't see it, but I'm giving finger quotes. He got a podium last year with two big penalties, a 5 second one for our incorrect starting position, and then a 10 second penalty for not serving that penalty correctly, which was overturned after the race. We saw Russell get that trophy and then get it taken away from him about a week later. Lance Stroll was a car retirement, bringing out the safety car. This gave Verstappen and Perez the pit stop advantage. That's how they were able to kind of get a little bit more ahead. I think Verstappen would have gotten that podium either way. He was so quick, but that definitely got him into the top three a little bit quicker. Albon with a brake failure, our second and last retirement for the race. He got into the pits, and then Verstappen taking the fastest lap on the last lap to keep the championship lead to himself. So we saw the podium, Perez, Verstappen, and then Alonso swapped into George, swapped back into Alonso again to once again be taken away about a week later.
If Verstappen taking the fastest lap, that was big news last year, right? That was a lot of hate around because didn't they tell Checo not to go for it?
They told Verstappen not to go for it, and then he went for it anyway.
Well, yeah, they did because Checo had it at the time, and then they radioed to Checo saying, yeah, you have the fastest lap, no need to push, and then Verstappen went against the orders and went and got the fastest lap.
Yep. I remember I was listening to a recap of it today, and the exact radio lines were Max asking what the fastest lap was, GP replying, we don't need to worry about it, and then Max coming right back and saying, well, I'm worried about it. And yeah, last lap of the race, he took it from him.
Typical Max.
Typical
Max.
Yep.
Dirt bag. Yeah, that race was quite exciting last year. I mean, I do remember there was quite a few overtakes. It was exciting seeing Verstappen actually start from 15th, having to fight for it. You knew he was going to get there. It's a matter of how much time.
Yep.
You know, so it's like there were side bets if he has it by 25 laps, 30 laps until he gets in that top five, top three, whatever it was. And I do think if it's not Perez number one, Verstappen wins that race.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, but to be honest, a race like that, Perez looked great last year in that race. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he doesn't have the same pace as Max, but I mean, this is a track you can kind of count on Checo. Even this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue that his pace is probably on par, very, very similar to Verstappen in a road track. Yeah. Verstappen takes the cake in any circuit, obviously. But yeah, I'm excited for this race. I think there is going to be a little bit more action. The course or the circuit's designed for more action than, you know, Bahrain. So it's going to be a battle of that top line speed. I think Haas might be able to finish in the top 10 this week. They finished 10th last year. So I think they might be able to squeak out some points this week. And I'm excited to see how Sauber kind of bounces back this week and see if they can get that 11th through 12th, 13th there locked down to show them that they are going to compete in the midfield this year.
I do agree. I think we might see Haas up there in the top 10. I also think a car you might want to watch out for the top five, top four, not a podium, but top four maybe, is McLaren. They have really nice top line speed, and Mercedes doesn't have that. This could be a really rough race for Mercedes to drop down in the Constructors' Championship. Because they don't have that top line speed. We might see them 6th, 7th. I mean, to be honest, even last race, Piastri looked very good. Mm-hmm. He looked very good. He's gained a lot of experience. Watch out for him this year. Just, you know, Lando's obviously the GOAT on that team. But watch out for the McLaren this week with that top line speed. We'll see how they compete against the Ferrari.
Yeah, I do think that McLaren has a better car, or the car is better suited for this track than Mercedes for sure. I still think that Ferrari's quicker though.
Yeah. I still have Ferrari on my podium, but it is interesting. We'll see how it unfolds. I think, you know, right here, though, we're going to see a change, I think, from Mercedes and McLaren and the constructors, which will be big. And, I think it's going to be a fun race all around. I think we're going to see a lot of the turns on this race are always fun. Even coming off on the first turn right there with that back-to-back, I mean, it's a super fun turn every year.
Super technical.
And every year you have people bumping into each other, people messing up, and, you know, people like Alonso last year taking overlaps and stuff there, passing people, because it really favors the veterans who have raced this track a lot.
Yeah, there's a certain line you have to do to get it fast, and those vets definitely know it. I disagree with you, though. I think Mercedes is still going to take it this week over McLaren, simply because I truly think this race is going to come down similar to last year. We're going to have one or two retirements, and Mercedes' strategy is just too good.
So I got to ask. So I would say Lando's above one of the Mercedes. I think it's a McLaren, Mercedes. Maybe not in that order, but I think that's how it's going to line up as far as, you know, one's going to be above the other and all that. Do you think it's both Mercedes above both McLarens?
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Similar to what I'm saying then?
Similar to what you're saying, but I would think that, I don't know. To be honest with you, I think I got Russell in my podium this week. So I think Russell's going to take that third spot, and then I think it's going to be one, if not both Ferraris, and then the Mercedes and the McLarens.
Also, do you got both Mercedes above the McLarens?
Not necessarily. No, I got Russell at third, and then the two Ferrari, one or two of the Ferraris, and then the Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren mixed in with the next five through six.
Gotcha. So you have Russell beating the Ferraris this week.
I do.
Interesting.
I do. I think it's going to come down to strategy this week, and Ferrari cannot capitalize on strategy for the last 7 years. Well, I shouldn't say seven, but however many Drive to Survive there's been, because that's when I started. That's the history of the sport that I know and that I haven't been able to strategize.
Yeah, I want to agree with you. I think McLaren and Mercedes, they're definitely the ones fighting each other. They're pretty even in my eyes a little bit. I kind of think McLaren has a little bit more on them. I think, obviously, Mercedes has a bit more experience with Hamilton, so that might edge it a little bit, but I think McLaren just has a better car this year. I don't see Mercedes on the podium. I see them maybe close. I don't know how McLaren's going to do. They're definitely going to do better than last year. They were bad last year at this track. But, you know, that was pretty much all car. Verstappen, Perez, my top two, I think for sure. I'm just going to call that out. I know we're just thinking three. I don't see Mercedes beating a Ferrari. I'm going to stick with what I had last week, and I'm going to say Leclerc fills in that third spot.
All right. And yeah, and then I do think that the McLaren has more top-end speed than the Mercedes, and those straights definitely do come into play on this track. I think the experience of Russell and Hamilton in the corners with having so many is where Mercedes is going to put themselves above McLaren, but it's going to come down to if there's those safety cars and what the strategy comes down to pit stops. I think pit stops are going to play the deciding factor in this race.
Yeah.
And I also think it's going to big factor in the qualifying too, who can put out the fast lap, because
yes,
because they all have fast cars for one lap, and Mercedes has that. So if Mercedes starts third again, I might lean your way to take them above McLaren if they start above McLaren in the beginning of the race, because how good they are in the corners and how much more experience their drivers have. So depending on the qualifying, I would say I might agree with you even on the Mercedes beating the McLaren, but I think the qualifying, especially in a race like this, the beginning of the race here, it's huge, because we all know once the pack starts and we all have DRS on those fast, it doesn't really matter.
No, those right? DRS yeah. trains get in there, and then everybody's equal.
So this might be, as far as for those 2, 3, 4 teams right now, this qualifying is huge.
So who do you got on the podium?
My podium, obviously, I'm going to go Verstappen and Checo this week. I think that, you know, Checo's got the advantage in the street track here. And then I'm a little bit of a draw here. I think a Ferrari. But I don't know, like, it's either Leclerc is going to come back and he's going to be with a vengeance, or Sainz is going to keep racing out of his mind like he has been the past 6 races. Put Sainz in for me. I think Sainz at 3.
All right. And unfortunately, with Smelty being sick, he did have to phone his picks in this week. So he had Verstappen, Checo, and Russell. So he had the same as me, actually.
Really? Russell?
Yep.
Man. Yep.
He finished fourth last year. I mean, he arguably third, depending on how you want to view that penalty. He was fourth, in my opinion, but I just think the experience takes it. And the McLaren and the Mercedes are so close to me in car performance right now, where I'm going to have to take the driver in that regard. The Ferrari's ahead of them. And, I mean, you can make an argument that the two Ferrari drivers are, I would say, equal to Hamilton and Russell if you equal them out. Obviously, okay. Hamilton's a step above both of Sainz and Leclerc, but I would take Sainz or Leclerc over Russell.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, they're equal for the most part there, so it's going to come down to strategy and experience. And I just think Mercedes is going to take that third spot.
You don't got the same sickness as Schmelzy, do you?
Not quite sure what that is, but I'm excited for this answer.
No, I'm just saying.
I thought it was going to be some stupid little cold joke, but I'm pretty healthy.
Okay, because, I mean, Mercedes up there over the Ferrari, I can't see it. With the straightaways in this track, I don't know. I'm not a believer in it. I think it's going to take some failures, engine failures, for them not to take the podium at Ferrari. And hey, it could happen, right? It's not a long shot for Ferrari for them to blow up a car. I get that. But I think it's going to take something like that for them not to take a podium this week.
Yeah, I'm hoping they fix Leclerc's issues that they had last weekend. And I can't see why they wouldn't. So I'm kind of with you. I think it all comes down to strategy at the end of the day. And you're right. Ferrari has clearly proven time and again that they are not good at that strategy. Hopefully they can figure it out this weekend for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's been a pleasure, boys. For the viewers at home, we're going to take a week break, being how the next race in Australia is 2 weeks away. So we'll be back in 2 weeks with our recap and then previewing Australia. As always, like, comment, subscribe, Spotify, Apple, YouTube. We are everywhere. We love the followers. We always want more. It's been a pleasure, boys.
And if I could just add, hit us up on YouTube. We want to make this live. We want to get a video going so you guys can see our beautiful mugs. Hit us up. Post comments, like, share it. Your friends will love it too. Your mom will love it. Thank you.
Don't forget to follow, like, and subscribe. Tune in next time for more Banter with the Boys.